Because I believe a man is supposed to take care of his woman. I don't care how much money your woman make. A man is supposed to have his mind set on taking care of his woman.
I want to talk. I mean, this, you know, this may be a bit crude, but I mean, I don't know no other way to say it. I want to talk about booty calls. How do we touch God's people when we can't touch God's people? And it's interesting how God has been preparing us as a ministry and as a leadership. He has been preparing us for this moment for a lot of years. And so today, we thank God that we have a very big footprint in the digital world, and that even though you're home, you're not here, or you're not in one of the other churches, we're still able to come and to pour into your lives. For the next few hours, you will have pastors of New Home Ministries right here pouring into your lives. This morning, I have a word that I want to share, and it comes in the form of a question. What do you do when there's nowhere to run? What do you do when there's nowhere to run? You know, I'm a movie lover. I used to really love scary movies, horror flicks. Yeah, I did. And there would come a time when the bad guy, the monster or whatever, the killer, would corner an individual, and there was nowhere to go. And, you know, I have to admit to you, even though they call me pastor, even though they call me bishop, even though they call me teacher, they call me, some call me doctor, they call me everything, all kinds of titles. I have to admit to you that there are moments in this season that I look around and I realize there's nowhere to run. So where do you go? What do you do when there's nowhere to run? Nobody to run to. You look to the right, you look to the left, the back, the front. Nobody's there. But you know, these are absolutely perilous times that we're living in. They're most uncertain. They really are. The Bible talks about times like these and that these times would come. So even though we are here and we've never been here before, I have to admit to you, I'm not surprised. I'm not taken by surprise, because the Bible talks about how the times would get more and more and more wicked, and how God would gradually lift his hand from the earth, and that man would reap the repercussions of his own choices. Now, interesting, as I was pondering talking to you today, and I'd never seen this before, but one of Jesus's last sermons, Jesus actually stopped to preach a sermon while he was in transition to Calvary to be crucified. One of his last sermons is found in Luke chapter number 23, and he's prophesying about times just like these, where there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to run. There's no safety. It's not like a hurricane. You can't drive from New Orleans to Atlanta or to Houston, because the same thing is going on there. You can't catch a plane and go to Italy, because it's even worse there. You can't hide from it in China or Australia, the whole world. Look what Jesus says in Luke 23, verses 26 through 30, he says, as they led him off, they made Simon, a man from Cyrene, who happened to be coming in from the countryside, carry the cross behind Jesus. A huge crowd of people followed, along with women, weeping and carrying on. At one point, Jesus turned to the women and said, daughters of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. The time is coming when they will say, lucky the women who never conceived. Lucky, this is the Message Bible. The real term is blessed the wombs that never gave birth. Blessed the breasts that never gave milk. Then they'll start calling to the mountains, fall down on us, calling to the hills, cover us up. These are the times we're living in, when men feel no sense of escape. And it creates what? An anxiety like we've never experienced before. But I want to share some wisdom with you today, just for a few minutes, from the Word of God. What do you do when there's nowhere to go? If you go to 2 Chronicles 20, verses 12 through 14, the people of God are being surrounded by an enemy that is insurmountable. I mean, they don't have the numbers. They don't have the skill to fight this particular army. And they're in a hopeless situation. They don't know what to do. And listen to what the word says in 2 Chronicles 20, 12 through 14. He says, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might. Listen to the wisdom here. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeul, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And when you read the full context, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he had a prophetic word for Jehoshaphat. But I want us to look at what they said, what happened with them when they were in a situation that was too big for them and there was nowhere to go. The first thing they said was, we don't have any might against this. We can't do this. In our own power, we are defenseless. Our pride has run out. You know, I mean, our strategies, our brilliance, our genius is not enough. We don't have any power against this situation right here. Doesn't that remind you of where we are now? We're all powerless. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for a narcissistic, egocentric society to accept, is that we don't have any power against this, but for the power of God. You see, you've been accustomed to, listen to me very well, you've been accustomed to fighting your fights with your little fist, and now life has tied your hands behind your back, and you're facing the biggest enemy you've ever faced in your life. And the first step to breakthrough is coming to a place where you can say, I don't have no power against, I can't do this, you know, uncle. I can't do this. God, you're going to have to do this because I can't do it. And the Bible says in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He goes on, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Let me tell you something. I don't care if it's Katrina. I don't care if it's Corona. It has no power over the Almighty. And even though I throw my hands up and say, I have no might in this situation, I have no power, I have no answers, baby, that don't mean that I'm helpless or hopeless. Actually, when I come to the end of myself, then I really step into my true power, which is the power of God at work on the inside of me. I really become dangerous when I get out of the way. Oh, I feel this thing here. I really become dangerous when I recognize that I can't do this. I can't hold no ministry up. I can't keep my family. I can't protect my members. I can't even protect myself. But God, you can. And God, you will. And God, just like you did it back then, God, you'll do it again. Hallelujah. Number two, they say, we don't have no power. We don't have no might against this great company that comes against us. Watch this. Neither know we what to do. We don't have no strategies. We don't have no plan. Number two, you got to forsake your intelligence. Some things, babe, you face in life, I don't care how many meetings y'all have. You can't plan your way out of this. I don't care how many meetings y'all have. You can't plan your way out of this, babe. Your little brain, your little intelligence, your little schooling, your little know-how. I've been pastoring for, 37, 38 years, I think, somewhere up there. You get so many years, you forget. But it's been a long time. And I've never faced anything like this. Somebody asked me the other day, what's your strategy? I don't know. I'm actually inventing it as I go. I don't know. This is beyond my brain. This is beyond my collection of data. This is beyond my expertise. This is a new realm. I can't rely on my intelligence. I can't rely on my know-how because I don't have enough. And look what the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It's amazing how people are still engaging in sin in the middle of something like this. He says, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. When this became a reality for me, I didn't know what to do. So I asked God, what to do? What to do? And God started giving me instructions. And as you obey every instruction, God will give you some more. He'll give you some more. But you got to get out of here. You got to stop being wise in your own eyes. That's foolishness to God. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And the wisdom of God is foolishness to a carnal man. Number three, they said, we don't have no might. We don't know what to do. Watch this. But our eyes are upon thee. Watch this. You have to master your focus. You must turn your focus to God. Why is that? Everything is competing for your focus now. The news, people on the phone, social media, all of the negativity, This is allergy season, and some of us are sneezing and coughing, and it's like the devil is trying to plant that stuff in your mind and throws you off, and you get anxious, and you, whew. You have to turn your focus to God. He's the one that I'm focused on now. I have to turn that news off, and I have to go into prayer. As I was sitting here in this sanctuary before I came to you, I was just listening to some Miranda Curtis, and the Spirit of God just filled this room. The glory of God filled this room, man. Me in here by myself, literally. I don't have a staff, a crew, nobody. I didn't bring anybody here. It's just me. The Spirit of God filled this room. And when the presence of God came in there, he lifted me. When I turned my focus to him, he lifted me up out of all of my anxieties. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. And look what the Bible says in Psalm 121, Psalms number 121, verses 1 and 2. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm not looking to Washington, D.C. They're as confused. They're more confused than anybody else, it seemed like, to be quite honest with you. Those people don't have a clue. And I can't blame them, because none of us would. You know, you sit and you blame these people that sit in Congress, Senate, and all of that, and, you know, even the president. But none of us, nobody's faced this. You got to look beyond that, and you got to look. So you know what I say? I say, God, the same way you brought me through Katrina, and I don't know how you did it, I was 40 years old and had to start all over again. The building I'm standing in, I didn't have no money. The people that were here with me were all trying to replant and rebuild their lives. We bought 10 acres of land here, built this building. I don't know how that happened. The same way God kept me through that, I refuse to look here and look there and to listen to this and to listen to that and not focus on the source of my help. And you got to know, sitting there this Sunday morning, that God will never forsake you. You got to just look to the hill from whence cometh he help. Now watch this. Number four, the Bible says not only did they say our eyes upon thee, but then it goes on to say, this is 2 Chronicles 20:12-14. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. The whole family came into divine agreement and covenant, the entire family. In this season, bae, the entire family must wait in the presence of God. While you're sitting there in your homes, and while you're self-quarantined, some of you are officially quarantined. You don't need to sit there staring at the walls talking about you getting bored. You need to pull your whole family together. It's time for the family to go to the next level in God, because your unsaved loved ones, their hearts are ready now. They're just waiting to see what your faith is going to do in a crisis. And while you're sitting there panicking, you're missing a golden opportunity to hook a fish that's gotten away for many years. He says the whole family stood before the Lord. I'm noticing something. Me and my wife are getting closer. We always had a great relationship, but we're getting closer now than we've ever been before. What the world calls calamity, sometimes there is, I promise you, in fact, all of the time, there's a divine blessing in it. The whole family stood before the Lord. It's amazing how the family comes together when crises that are bigger than you and I hit. Take advantage of this opportunity. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Even the young folk worried now. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord showed me a prophetic revelation the other day. He said, when we come out of this, we're coming out of this stronger than we've ever been before. Don't waste this time in panic. Don't waste this time in panic. God's going to give you some wisdom and some instruction. Your money's going to shift. Your family's going to get stronger. The Lord said he's going to use this to save marriages. Loved ones that refuse Jesus, getting ready to come to him now. Don't waste this time in panic. Wait before the Lord. If you sit in your house, don't you dare sit there in a house with air and food and water and clothes and soap and complain about, I'm tired of being up in here. You got some folk going through this and they're on the street. And the Lord said, bring the whole family together, refocus them, make them understand how blessed they are. And all of y'all wait in my presence. I'm doing something. Just like I walked through Egypt. And I decided I was going to break the backbone of Pharaoh's power. And I sent a prophetic word to my people, said, put some blood on your doorpost and hide behind that blood and wait till I'm through doing what I'm doing. Hide behind the covenant. It ain't going to kill you if you just wait. And then number five, I like what Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 20, going down to verse 20, 20 through 24, it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. I got to talk to you like a prophet now. I got to talk to you like a prophet now. He says, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came before, came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. God destroyed their enemies. Number five, replace your panic with praise. Replace your panic with praise. Get you some music. Get you some worship music. Fill your house with praise. Ooh, dismiss the spirit of panic with the sacrifice of praise. And God will come down from the heavens and he'll destroy this enemy that we know as Corona. And when you come out, when you read the rest of that story, there was a great wealth transfer. When God got through with the plagues in Egypt, there was a great wealth transfer. When you come out, God says you're not coming out empty. I love you on this Sunday morning. My heart is with you. My faith is high. My faith is strong. I want you to just stay glued to this social media. Stay glued to the website. Stay glued to Facebook. Stay glued to YouTube. Stay glued to come home to newhome.org. Stay glued to newhomeministries.org. Stay glued. Tune in to K75 AM in the mornings. Your pastors are going to be coming to you early in the mornings. We're going to keep your faith where it has to be until this passes over. And we're going to be all right. Let Pastor pray with you today. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the people that you have entrusted into my care. And now, God, though I cannot embrace them, oh, it feels so weird. God, I thank you that you will allow me by the grace that you've put upon my life to touch them. Even though I can't touch them, I thank you, God, that I have a grace that I can still touch them. I thank you that you have provided a means whereby I can still touch them. And now, God, let the words of my mouth pour into their hearts like healing oil. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me say this to you. If you're watching this and you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you've never said, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. But Pastor, there's something that I sense. I feel a tugging. I feel like God is pulling me. I feel like it's time for me to surrender my heart and my life to the Lord. You know what I want you to do for me? Since no one's at the office, I want you to email me at PastorRCBlakes@gmail.com. Either I will call you back or one of our ministers will call you back, and we will lead you in the right direction that brings you to Jesus. PastorRCBlakes@gmail.com. You can be saved even by way of social media. Amen. Keep your ear glued. Keep your ear glued for all of the announcements that are getting ready to come forth. Now, let Pastor say this to you. This is our time to give. And I want you to notice something. Behind me is an empty building. There's nobody in this whole building but me. Here are the offering buckets. You can see the envelopes in there, but they're all empty. And this is the reality in New Orleans East, here in Houston, Texas, at our main location, New Orleans Uptown, Baton Rouge, Hammond, Louisiana. The seats are empty. But you notice the lights are still burning. The air is blowing. You know I'm in here, so the air is blowing. So it means that your ministry must still go on. This is our time of giving. I remember when there was a plague that hit Israel, and people were dying. And long story short, David had to go before the Lord and he had to bring an offering before the Lord. And the Bible says when he brought that offering before the Lord, the plague stopped. The Lord told me today to challenge you to give. Even the children of Israel, when the death angel marched through Egypt, they had to slay a lamb to put that blood on the post. It's an offering. I want you, this is our time right now. This is our time for tithes and offerings. The buckets are empty. The seats are empty. But there are some giving methods that are on the screen. You can download the app, Givelify, text to give. You can go to the websites. You can give there. I want you to sow a seed today. Number one, if you have your tithe, if the Lord has blessed you, one of my dear daughters reached out to me and said, Bishop, the Lord has blessed me that I still have my income. And I want you to know that I will be tithing. I will be sowing into the ministry and I'll be blessing you during this time, however long it lasts. If the Lord has blessed you like that, I want you to get your tithe and I want you to go to Givelify. Download the app. If you're a text to give person, text to give. If you're a person that goes to the website, go to the website, either one of them, newhomeministries.org or comehometonewhome.org. You can give at either site. It's all the same. If you're on Givelify, find the pastor, find the location and the service time that you desire to give to, and just give to that particular service. And let's make certain that the house of God is sustained. And the Lord said, sow a seed today. I'm not asking you to do anything ridiculous. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God. But sow a seed today, and I believe with all of my heart that God is going to breathe upon that seed, and though it happens to your right to your left, it will not come nigh you. Right before this broke out, I sowed, Lisa and I sowed the biggest personal seed we had ever sown. And now I understand why. So this is our time for giving. I want you to find one of those means, and I need you to do it right now. I need you to do it right now. Whatever time you're watching this, do it right now. If you're watching live, do it now. If you're watching later, do it now. And let's make certain that our ministry, I thank God for all of you who have been sowing and giving into your ministry. These lights on. When I drove up, nobody had padlocked the door and said, we're repossessing or we're taking this building back. I need you to go and give. Well, I love you. Don't forget that Bishop Samuel Blakes is coming on. Bishop Henry Bolden is coming on. And we're going to take this block of time and we're going to call it our time of inspiration, our time of hope as a family. And I want you to chime in on Wednesday night. Thursday night, I have some instructions for you as a family, how we should pass this time as we are locked in. I love you with all of my heart. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get back together with you. We're just going to have a hugging service. I promise you, we're going to just have a hugging service. I miss you. I miss you. I miss you. But keep your faith strong and stay focused because God has the last word. God bless you, baby. We're on top and we're going higher. Have a great one.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.